John chapter 1. And the message today is about a man who tells us what he thinks of Jesus. In past weeks, we've considered passages such as the Savior saying, "Whom do men say that I am, and whom do you say that I am?" I want to read you whom John says Jesus is today. Who is this one? Well, John is going to tell us. And while telling us, we're going to learn a lot about him as well. John chapter 1, verse 15. John, that is John the Baptist, beareth witness of him. Well, why is his witness so important? Look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. So, a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness that he might bear witness of the light that all men might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. Verse 15, John beareth witness. So, he was sent of God to bear witness, and he bears witness and cries, saying, "This was he of whom I said, He that cometh after me is become before me, for he was before me." Verse 19, and this is the witness of John. When the Jews sent unto him from Jerusalem priests and Levites to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed and denied not, and he confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, art thou Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They said therefore unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said Isaiah the prophet." And they had been sent from the Pharisees. And they asked him, and said unto him, "Why then baptizest thou, if thou art not the Christ, neither Elijah, neither the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize in water. In the midst of you standeth one whom ye know not, even he that cometh after me, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to unloose." Verse 29, on the morrow he seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man who is become before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, for this cause came I baptizing in water. And John bare witness, saying, I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize in water, he said unto me, Upon whomsoever thou shalt see the Spirit descending and abiding upon him, the same is he that baptizeth in the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." Now, look at chapter 3, verse 25. There arose, therefore, a questioning on the part of John's disciples with a Jew about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, "Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond the Jordan, to whom thou hast borne witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him." John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it have been given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom that standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is made full. He must increase, but I must decrease. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, with so much folly, so much of the flesh, so much of the wisdom of man being spoken in the world, we are thankful that we have heard the words of one spoken from a man sent from you, a man sent from God, whose name was John. We are thankful for this man's testimony. Our Father, we have heard what many have thought about the Lord Jesus in past weeks, and we are glad that this morning we can consider the words of one who spoke concerning Christ, the things that were true, because it was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness that he might bear witness to Christ. We rejoice in this. And our desire, Father, is that we may understand from this heavenly messenger who Jesus is, and many other things as well. So our Father, we are glad that in a world of darkness and in a world of confusion, we have light and we have truth. And we pray, our God, that this light and truth may influence our lives, control our lives, and make us to be what you, our Father, would have us to be. You know what is necessary to accomplish this? Our Father, there could be such discouragement because of so many exhortations given and so much spoken of Christ, but so little done and so little known, Christ. But our Father, by thy Spirit, work upon the hearts of all who are here and make the words, not just words, but Spirit-empowered words. And we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse from all unrighteousness as you have promised, as we look to thee for good, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The Lord wants you to know many things as Christians. What happens is this. Most of us are satisfied with knowing Jesus loves me. That's all that I need to know. Thank God it is all you need to know to get to heaven, if you know he loves you and you receive him as Savior. But that is not all that God wants you to know. And we are not to be satisfied with the least possible understanding of Christ, but we shall only be satisfied when we have the fullest understanding of Christ. Why? Because this is what God wants of us. This was the longing of Paul's heart, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, that I may know him, grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, our ambition in life should be to know him. And there is a song, more about Jesus. And that's what God wants. So, what do you know about Jesus? You remember what Martha said to him last week? She said, Lord, I know that even now, whatsoever thou shalt ask of God, thou shalt give him. So here is something that a woman knew about the Lord Jesus. And there are some things that we should know about Jesus that we do not know. And sad to say, there are some things that we think we know about Jesus that are entirely wrong. So what we have to do is to ascertain the truth from God's Word, and that is what we should know about Jesus. And John the Baptist is one who fully qualifies for this reason. He was one sent from God. And what is so remarkable, because this is the conclusion that we must draw, is that all of these things that he is telling us of Christ, he learned in private, in the desert, in his communion with God, and in his study of the Holy Scriptures. You say, well, why would that be necessary? There was just a 6-month difference in age between him and Jesus. Why would he not go and discuss the great plans of the establishing of the kingdom? Did he not preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand? Well, can you think of any man who has one to go before him, who has not personally conferred with him and told him what to say and what arrangements to make? You say, no businessman today would think of such a thing. There has to be this coordination. I tell you that John the Baptist had never seen the Lord Jesus. He had never spoken to the Lord Jesus. He did not know the Lord Jesus. And I tell you that because John tells us that. He said, I knew him not. Isn't that a remarkable thing? That for 30 years you could live in the world with the Savior about whom you're going to preach, and you would not go and talk with him, the very one whom you were sent from heaven to preach about. But this was God's way. He is in the desert learning from the Scriptures and in communion with God the things that he was to say about the Lord Jesus. How remarkable. What does it mean? It means that whereas someday I'm going to see the Lord Jesus as he is, and I'm going to talk to him, and I'm going to ask him questions. There's so many things I want to know. And he will be able to answer them personally, because we're going to see him face to face. But it may be that others who have been in heaven so long, God will let me talk to them first, and they will tell me ever so many things. And it may be that I will not need to have these questions asked personally about Christ, because he tells us so much about himself in his word. But John learned these things in private from the Scriptures, communion with the Father, and the Spirit of God. So how much do you know from a personal experience from God and the Scriptures about Christ? Listen to what some say. We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. The Lord Jesus said, yet is the light a little while among you. A little while. But they had heard that Christ abides forever. They had not put things together. That is why there is ever so much we have to know. First of all, we have to know about ourselves. We have to know about our fellow man. And we have to know about the Lord Jesus. There are some people who never learn what they are. They go through life believing a lie about themselves, believing flattery that people tell them about themselves, and they're like Simon the sorcerer. This is what it says concerning him. In Samaria, he gave out that he was some great one. And so there are some people who go through life thinking there's some great one, how important I am. And that was what he thought about himself. He said, I'm some great one, and I'm telling everybody, I'm this great one. And he had convinced the people that he was that power of God called great. And sad to say, that is the way with some and their reputations in the world. They have proclaimed far and wide that they're some great ones, and they've convinced people. And you ask people, who are they? Why, he's that power of God that is called great. There are evangelists and Bible teachers who put out that they are some great one, and in reality, they're false. They are hypocrites. They are lies. And yet people will say these great things concerning them. So let us not be like Simon the sorcerer, putting out that we are some great one when we are charlatans, when we are deceivers. But let us know ourselves as John the Baptist knew himself. When they came to John the Baptist, they said, "Are you the Messiah? Who are you?" Now if somebody said, "Who are you?" Are you able to give them an answer that is acceptable in God's sight? They said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am not the Messiah." If you read the other portions about John, he had wrought such an influence upon Israel that they were wondering, is it possible that this is the Messiah that we've been waiting for? And so the first thing that he tells them when they come and ask, "Who are you?" They wanted to know, "Are you going to tell us that you are the Messiah and we can stand behind you and do all in our power to bring in the kingdom?" First of all, he told him, he said, "I am not the Messiah." Do you realize that there are some people in the world that if they have an inkling that you think that they are somebody important, they'll pretend to be that person. They want you to think that they're somebody important. But here is one that men think perhaps he's the Messiah. But he says, "No, I'm not the Messiah." They said, "Well, are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Well, are you the prophet?" He said, "No." How remarkable. It is good for you to know who you are not. Are you some great one? Are you some holy one? Are you some important one? It's good for you to know that you are not all of these great personages that the world might think that you are. And at times, if you're not in your own country, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country, but you go to different places and people might exalt you to the heavens. But when they do, what you have to candidly answer them is, "I am not that person you think I am. I am not the Messiah." "Well, if not the Messiah, a lesser one, are you Elijah?" "I am not." "Well, are you the prophet?" "No." "Who are you then?" Do you understand? First of all, you have to know who you are not. And I've seen in the assemblies, because I have to listen to people preach as well as preach, there are some who think that they are preachers and teachers and are of great importance, but you'll find out that they are not. And I know, I remember on one occasion, years ago, being in a distant place, and there were three or four of us that were speaking, and I spoke to this dear sister in Christ concerning one man that was in the Lord's service there. I said, "What is that man's gift?" And she said, "He has no gift." And it was so humorous, because usually people will put up a good front, but she came out plainly and said, "He has no gift." And after I listened to the dear man, as good-hearted as he was and as sincere as he was, he had no gift. And yet somehow he had been commended to the Lord's work, and he did not know who he was, but other people did. So it's good to know what you are and what you are not. And when people ask me, "Who are you?" I'm able to tell them this, because I know who I am. I am a minister of the gospel, and God's people, in their grace, have seen fit to commend me to the work of the Lord, and I have more talents than one. I have less talents than five. I am a servant of God with two talents, more than some, but far from the greatest. I am simply one that seeks by God's grace to give acceptable ministry and to pray if on occasion perhaps I can give exceptional ministry. I am a servant of God with two talents. You say, you're not this great evangelist? No. You're not this great teacher? No. You've moved multitudes? No. What have you done? I've spoken to a handful of sheep in the wilderness here and there, and I told them some truth of God, but I have no false impression of my own greatness or of my own gift. You say, well, why are you talking in a way like that? Because Paul tells us we have to talk that way. He says in Romans chapter 12, I say, by the grace of God given me to every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as to think soberly, according as God hath given to each man a measure of faith. He wants you to know what you are. And there are some who, like Archippus, who will not take heed to the ministry which they have received in the Lord, and there are others who think they have ministry, and like that woman said, and I wish I had courage to speak so frankly, he has no gift. Well, John the Baptist knew precisely who he was because he found it in the Word of God. Well, who are you then? Why are you assuming all of this authority if you're not the Messiah and you're not Elijah and you're not the prophet that should come into the world? Why are you doing all these things? Who are you? John the Baptist had an answer, and it was scriptural. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. I am the one who was sent before the Messiah to prepare his way. Now, that is what is so delightful for a man to know from God's Word who he is and what he is to do, and then with all his strength to do it as long as he lives. And that's what John the Baptist did. Who are you? He said, no, I'm not Elijah. No, I'm not the prophet. No, I'm not the Messiah. Well, you're nobody? Yes, I'm somebody. I am the voice that God sent to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. And that is what I'm going to do with all my power. Isn't that remarkable? I remember, and this is what is so sad, that I was with a husband and wife in the presence of other witnesses, and this woman was deriding her husband. You realize that some wives of husbands that have important positions, and he had held a high position, and out of the blue she said, why, my husband is over 60 years of age and he still doesn't know who he is. And we all were embarrassed. He said, yes, I do know who I am. She said, oh, you piddle around and this and that, but you have no idea who you are. And so some go through life and they think they know who they are, but they really do not know who they are, and they are functioning in a wrong area. And so this woman said concerning one preacher, he has no gift, and here is a wife. Now, she may have been wrong, but she said, my husband does not know who he is. Many times, these things are true, but many times, wives can be wrong, because it says, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own household. And so it may be that this woman had a false impression of her husband. But she said he doesn't know who he is. But John the Baptist knew who he was, and God expects us to know who we are. Because if you know who you are correctly, if you think soberly, according as God has given you a measure of faith, then there will be many heartbreaks that are withheld from you, and there will be many disappointments, and at the same time, many illusions that are shattered if you know what you are and what you are not. And this is what God is telling us about John the Baptist. He knew who he was. He knew his limitations, and he accepted them from God, which causes me to go now and tell you a little bit about what John the Baptist knew concerning his fellow man. There are some who think there is good in all men. Well, there may be good in all men, as goodness is judged by man. But there is one thing I can tell you about all men, And that is, there is evil in all men. And John the Baptist is he who had learned that of his fellow man. And if you listen to those who say there is good in all men, we are all brothers, we are one, and if we have the right education and the right environment and the right assistance, we will all turn out well. This is a lie of Satan, and John the Baptist knew concerning himself what he was and was not, and he knew what man was. And concerning man, this was his testimony. Concerning man. When he saw them coming to him, he said, "You offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" He believed that men were sinners, and he was speaking to God's chosen people and to the religious nation of the world, the one religion that God had prescribed. And he said to them, "You are offspring of vipers." Do you know what that means? It means that he called their fathers vipers, and he called them vipers. He said, "You're snakes." In other words, here is a picture of what they were, and he said that they were sinners. And let me hasten to contrast that with his discernment concerning men. Before he had ever known who the Lord Jesus was, before he had ever met the Lord Jesus, and remember, he said, "I did not know him until the Spirit of God came upon him." God said that was the way that I was to know him. But when this man came, this important Pharisee from Jerusalem, he said, "You serpent, your father was a serpent. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And the Lord Jesus Christ walked and came to the River Jordan, got there some way, got to the River Jordan and presented himself to be baptized. And John said to him, he said, "I have need to be baptized of thee." Isn't that remarkable? That this man, who when others came round him, he said, "You are sinners." When the Lord Jesus comes round him, he says, "I have need to be baptized of thee." That's all I want to say concerning the Savior and what John the Baptist said of him at that time. But concerning men, he knew what men were. And at the same time, he knew how men could be deadly. They were serpents, and they were servants of the serpent. What do I mean? I read to you in John chapter 3 that John's preaching had caused followers to gather round him. And there were many at first. But this Messiah whom he had announced came upon the scene, and he was preaching, and through his disciples was baptizing, and now those disciples that were around John were leaving John and were going to Jesus. And they came to him and said, "Rabbi, he to whom you bore witness beyond the Jordan, the same baptizeth, and all men are coming unto him." And this is what I've seen. I've seen that those well-meaning friends can, through satanic instrumentality, cause you to be at enmity with other children of God. And in the mind of a man like Saul, king of Israel, why don't you understand that David is going to be exalted above you? Yes, I hear them singing. Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And Saul hates him. And now, Satan can use that same ploy to ensnare John the Baptist. Look, you have a great following, but do you see how it's diminishing? They're going to the Messiah. Everybody is following this man to whom you were born witness. John the Baptist is ready for them. He said, "I told you that I was not the Messiah, and I want you to know this. A man can receive nothing except he receive it from heaven." That is what you must understand. What I have received from heaven, why, I am permitted to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." I received that from heaven. But I want you to understand that this Messiah, he also is the Messiah from heaven, you must understand that heaven gives some gifts upon men, different gifts upon others, high gifts and low gifts, and you must understand that it comes from heaven. And if you seek to exalt me, to draw followers away from Christ, this is counterproductive to the intention of God. Here is what I want you to understand about myself. He must increase, I must decrease. Now, you go on about your business. You are not going to cause me to think that you are important and that you are loyal and that because of this loyalty, I am going to turn my back upon Christ. I want you to understand that these few that are coming to him, I want you to understand that I wish all of them were to come to him, and God has shown me that I must decrease. He must increase. And therefore, I want you to see and follow the Messiah. Why? How do I know that? Because there were disciples that were with John, and John saw the Lord Jesus coming. And he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And you'll find that these two disciples, and John was one of the disciples, they left John and they followed Jesus. And after that, they did not go with John the Baptist, but they went with the Savior. And it in no way disappointed John. Now, this is what I'm telling you. I teach you. I seek to build you up in the Word of God. If there came an evangelist who could preach the gospel and win souls, and people were saying, "Let that man preach the gospel, souls are being saved," it would not disturb me in the least. I would say, "Indeed, let him preach. Yes, God has empowered that man. God has given the man the gift to save souls. Yes, praise God, use that man." But what some might say is, "Look, why this man, why he is more highly esteemed than you are, and people admire him more than you." I would rejoice in it. Put me to the test. Find someone who can win souls and cause the assembly to be built up, and I will embrace him, and I'll do all that I can to support him, because God has given men gifts from heaven, one after this manner, one after another. But what happens is this, that if you have an evangelist, and at times, after an evangelist wins souls, then a teacher comes along, and, "Oh, you are nothing but an evangelist," and they start following a teacher. And the very thing that is of God, Satan turns it against us, because God put some in the church, and he gave some teachers, and he gave some evangelists. Thank God, let us use them both. But then Satan would have us to be jealous of one another. But John says, "You are not getting me jealous of the Messiah. He must increase." He said, "I must decrease." And he said, "Now, concerning my answering the question, who he is, I want you to understand that I know who he is. I want you to understand that this one who cometh after me is preferred before me, because he was before me." John had ascertained of the existence of Jesus before him, and John the Baptist had ascertained that even though Jesus was born in a manger, that he still was preferred before John the Baptist. And he had learned concerning our Savior that he was to have the preeminence, that Jesus was to increase more and more and more, and the glory is to depart from men, and it's all to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if a man has done you a favor, be thankful, be grateful for what he's done, but never to the point that Christ is Lord, and the man that has been a benefit to you is exalted. Let Christ always increase. Be thankful for what gifts God has given you through men. But understand, Christ must increase, man must decrease. And then get a true evaluation concerning the Savior. And it is this, that he was before me, that he is preferred before me, that he is the one upon whom the Spirit of God has come and he abides upon him, and I tell you that he is the Son of God. Think of that. He is the Messiah because I've seen heaven open and I've seen the Spirit of God as a dove descending from heaven and abiding upon him, and God told me this is the sign. You do not know who the Messiah is, but I'll tell you so that there will be no doubt. The one upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit of God descending and abiding, the same is he that baptizeth in the Holy Spirit and in fire. And John said, I have seen, and I bear witness, and I tell you that this man is the Son of God. And so I rejoice in that. For man, holding back his understanding of who Jesus is, learning it from God, but having learned it from God, speaking it plainly. And therefore, if anyone ever asked you, who is this one that we read in the Bible, Jesus, who is he? You can say, he is the Messiah, and I know that that is so because I have the testimony of an eyewitness who saw heaven rent asunder, who heard the voice of God, who saw the Spirit of God descend upon him, and God had said that this is the promised Messiah. This Messiah is the Son of God. And John says, I have borne witness that this is he. And one thing more. Concerning his understanding as to who he was not, are you the Messiah? No. Are you Elijah? No. Are you the prophet? No. Are you the bridegroom? No. Well, who are you? I am the friend of the bridegroom. He knew his relationship to the Lord Jesus. He understood that he was the voice to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. Prepare ye in the wilderness. Make his way straight. I am that voice. He said, but at the same time, I am the friend of the bridegroom. He that has the bride is the bridegroom. That's the Messiah. I'm just his friend. And he that's the friend of the bridegroom standeth and he rejoices to hear his voice. And it says, therefore, because this has happened, that I have brought the bride to the bridegroom, and I've heard his voice of approval, he said, because of this, my joy has been fulfilled. To think that a man would live 30 years prepared by God, speak a few months to prepare the way for the coming Messiah, and then to be put to death, but in a 3 to 6 month service for God, that's all. To have that privilege, and then to say, my joy is fulfilled. Why? Because I prepared a bride for the bridegroom. This my joy is fulfilled. Know who you are. Know who you are not. Know who the Lord Jesus is. And then many heartbreaks will be avoided. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for some whom you send from heaven. We are glad for Moses, how much he told us. David, how much he told us. Isaiah. And then we are thankful for John the Baptist as well. We are glad for not only who he told us Jesus was, but we are glad for his attitude concerning life, for his understanding that ultimately all glory must go to Christ. We remember what Satan said, I will be like God, I will exalt my throne above the stars. And we understand what you said, you will be cast down. And yet here is one, Father, whom men would exalt. But he said, Christ must increase, I must decrease. Let that be the desire of our heart, Father. Magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.